Hey there. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Pastor Tim has taken the evening to be with his wife and family there, and we just pray that their new daughter is healthy and well, and that it all has gone well for them. But let's open up with a word of prayer this evening, and we'll get into the lesson. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time, and Lord, we pray that you would just help me to have your words, and Lord, that I would just speak clearly what you've laid on my heart this evening, and that it would be a help and encouragement to those around that are listening to this message this evening. Lord, help us again to study your word diligently and to just allow your spirit to move within us this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We'll be in Romans in a little bit here this evening, but first I wanted to start with a little story, and hopefully it'll become a little clearer here in a minute how it plays in to what we'll look at in Romans here in a little bit. From her bedroom window, Rebecca eyed the children playing in the snow enviously. How she longed to play with them. Now, Rebecca, she remembered her father telling her that morning, you can't play in the snow today. Why not, Father? Rebecca had asked. Every day, the neighborhood children gathered at the park just behind Rebecca's house. Just trust me, Rebecca. It's not what's best for you today, her father had replied. At the time, Rebecca had responded by kissing her father on the cheek and assuring him that she would stay inside and read. But now she was having second thoughts. It is beautiful outside, she thought to herself. It was true. The sun was shining brilliantly. Why wouldn't her father let her go play? Why should she have to miss out on all the fun? When a snowball exploded just outside her window, Rebecca decided she couldn't stand it any longer. She simply had to go join the others. Leaving her book on the table, Rebecca slipped outside. She tried to tell herself that she was having a good time, but after a while, her heart felt uncomfortable. She kept looking this way and that, fearful lest her father see her. After a few hours, Rebecca finally said her goodbyes and headed back towards the house. She wanted to be safely lodged in her room before her father came home. Intent on getting to her room as quickly as possible, Rebecca didn't see the mitten someone had left on the stairs until her foot slipped on it. Next thing she knew, she had fallen several stairs. To her horror, she noticed that she had hit her father's favorite picture when she fell. A huge gash ran along the front of the picture. Normally, Rebecca would have hurried to her father after such a fall so that she could doctor up her so that he could doctor her up and make her feel better, but not this time. How could she face her father right now? She had disobeyed him and ruined his favorite picture. Biting her lips to keep from crying out, Rebecca grabbed the ruined picture and hobbled to her room. For the remainder of the day, she lay in agony. Her body ached from the bruises she received on her fall, but her heart, that ached worst of all. She felt certain that her father would no longer love her. She had messed up in the past, but surely this time she had gone too far. He would probably never want to speak to her again. How could he still love her? She sobbed uncontrollably on her pillow. She had always been close to her father. She had played and studied. They had played and studied together. They had laughed and cried together. But not now. No, she felt certain that those wonderful times were over. Who knows how long she would have lain thus had not her nanny come in to check on her. Rebecca's nanny had a way about her of finding out exactly what was wrong and offering solid, wise counsel. Tonight was no exception. Rebecca, dear, she said firmly, but gently, you've been very wrong, but you must not continue in your wrongness by sitting here. You must go to your father with the broken picture in your hand and tell him everything. Oh, but I can't. I'm not worthy of his love, Rebecca sobbed. Her nanny sighed patiently. You were no more worthy of it yesterday than today, child. Your father loves you because you're his daughter, not because of anything you do or don't do. Hasn't he told you every day since you were a little girl, I love you? Do you doubt his word? Do you really think his love is dependent on you? Doubt his word? That was an angle Rebecca had never thought of before. Maybe she should go see her father. Yes, she must go see him. for if she didn't, she'd never be able to rest. So, still shaking and trembling with fear, Rebecca limped down the hall to the living room. She paused at the doorway. Her father was sitting in his favorite chair, just like he did every night. He looked up when she entered, and a smile radiating from with love illuminating his face. "Ah, you've come at last. I've been waiting. Come, sit here on my lap." As he spoke, he opened his arms widely. Rebecca couldn't stand it. "Oh, you don't understand, Father. You can't love me anymore. I've been terribly wicked, and..." Rebecca held up the picture frame for her father to see. "I know, Rebecca. More than you think. I watched you go outside. I watched you fall and hit the picture frame. I saw it all."
"You did?"
Rebecca was flabbergasted. But weren't you at work?" Her father shook his head. "I took the day off to spend special time with you. That's why I told you not to go outside to play. Ever since I saw you fall, I've been longing for you to come to me so I could bandage your wounds and help you. Won't you come now?" Rebecca could hardly believe her ears. Her father had planned to spend the afternoon with her, and she had missed it. Oh, what foolishness! Yet her father knew it all and loved her anyway. Could it be? "But Father, how can you love me now?" Rebecca's father smiled a smile she would never forget. "Rebecca, dear, I loved you before you were born. You're my daughter, and I will always love you. Although sometimes your actions will result in consequences you could have avoided, nothing can ever separate you from my love. Now won't you come and let me help you with those bruises? Turn with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 8. We're going to look at verses 35 to 39 this evening. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 to 39. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Just like the little girl in that story that we just looked at, our Heavenly Father is there, ready to love us, ready to embrace us, no matter what we do. He just wants us to turn to him and ask for forgiveness. Christ loves us. Who can separate us? Nothing we do, nothing we say can separate us from his love. Absolutely nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. As we saw in verses 35 through 37 here of Romans chapter 8, that includes all trials, all temptations, all sufferings, all needs, and even slaughter. In all of these things, we are overwhelmingly conquerors. Even scratch pictures and disobedience on our part, none of that can separate us. This includes anything in death or life, anything from angels or demons, anything in the present or in the future, every height, which includes our height of sin, or any depth, which includes the depths of sin, and every other creating being, which includes me and you. We can also not separate ourselves from the love of Christ. We can deny it. We can reject it. We can turn from it. But the love of Christ is still there, my friend. Still there for you and for I. Some will say I can separate ourselves, but you would have to do so from the love of Christ in a condition other than life or death, at some time other than the present or the future, without any temptation from Satan, and as something other than a being that has been created by God. My friend, you and I are both created. We cannot separate ourselves from the love of God. Again, like I said, we can reject it, we can turn from it, but it's still there. We're in the presence of the love of God. God has saved us in verse 31, if you turn back a couple verses there. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He will therefore complete his work in us. If you're saved this evening and depending on him and turned your life over to him so that you have that hope of salvation, his work is in us. His love is in us, and he wants to complete that. But if nothing can separate me from God's love, then can't I continue to sin as much as I want to? Well, if you turn back to Romans chapter 6 and verses 1 and 2, Paul addresses this and says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? How can we do it without not having the guilt that Rebecca had of, oh, what if my father catches me? What if my father sees me? That is the same of the true Christian this evening, that we will have that conscience, that we will have that nag on us to say, hey, come back to me, come fellowship with me. Christ Jesus is calling us. Grace does not provide freedom to sin. The objection to salvation and security by grace, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Paul again begins chapter 6 here by raising the common objection to salvation and or preservation by grace, that it provides a license to sin. This argument is commonly stated, if I believe that, I would get saved and then go out and commit all the sins I wanted. But if you think you can sin because of the grace of God's love, then you don't understand what grace and God's love are. And you may not be saved. So you may want to look at that this evening and understand what salvation is all about and what the love and grace of God are all about. The answer to the fear that grace provides license is God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Just like in the story, Rebecca couldn't stand to be away from her father. The true Christian tonight, likewise, cannot stand to be apart from our Heavenly Father, from Christ Jesus, from his love. We should all, as Christians, be desiring that unity with Christ. That time that we get to spend with him should be precious to us. The time that we get to spend in his word should be precious to us this evening. If we're not seeking that, and I know you are because you're listening to me on a Wednesday evening here, and there's many other things you could be doing. Netflix has got all kinds of stuff that we could spend our time on or anything else, but here you are listening to the Word of God being proclaimed. And that should be our desire, even when we aren't together, to get into the Word, to be spending time in prayer, to lift up our brothers and sisters in Christ when the Holy Spirit lays them on us. And if we don't have those desires, then again, we might need to examine our salvation and understand what it truly means to be in love with God, in love with Christ, and the love that he has for us, in that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. Those saved and kept by grace are not free to sin. We are dead to, and therefore free from, sin. It's the union with Christ that provides our desire to not sin, to not live in sin, as we recognize how much he loves you and me. Paul didn't write these things arbitrarily, but as someone who himself had experienced them. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, if you'll turn there with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I have it in my notes here, so I'm not turning in the Bible, but 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 21 to 33, a lengthy section here, but it's important for us to look at who wrote this in Romans and what he had been through. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 21. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whithersoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prison more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. I journey in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the cure of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king kept the city of Damascus with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me, and through a window in a basket was I let down the wall and escaped his hands. Just a few examples of what the Apostle Paul here went through. And he's the one that wrote this to us in Romans chapter 8, who says, there is nothing in this world or outside of this world, for it's all created by God, that can separate us from his love. From his love. He went through these things willingly for Christ, stoned to death, and went back into the city and started preaching the word of God. If that's not an example of the love of God, I don't know what is, other than what Christ did for us when he died and bore our sacrifice, our sins upon that cross. I think he knew what he was talking about. I think he'd been through these things. God's love knows no bounds and will always be there when we need it. Just like Rebecca's father was there in the story for her, waiting. Our Heavenly Father is there in heaven waiting for us. And you know what? He's outside of time. So we're already, if you're a child of God, if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're already there with him because he sits outside time. Scripture tells us that he transcends time because he created time for our convenience. And so we're already there with him in heaven, in our robes, with our rewards, serving him, and in eternity. We have nothing to lose in this life. He's given his all for us that we could live everlastingly with him, and we are. Oh, friends, the love of God, the love of God. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. Because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. Friend, if you don't love him this evening, I pray that you would turn to him this evening and give your life to him. Oh, it's not going to be easy. I mean, we just read in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 what Paul had gone through, what God had for him as a Christian, as a fellow believer. It's not going to be easy. It's going to cost you the rest of your life. But we love him because he first loved us, because he gave his all. We're willing to give our all. Psalm 86 and verse 15 says, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. Let me read that again. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. Friends, if you've read your Bible and you've come to the conclusion that, oh, up here in Deuteronomy and here in Judges and these other places, God is just so cruel. I don't see the love of God. Then you need to go back and read that again and look at it. Look at how long-suffering he was. Look at how long he waited before he passed judgment on the Israelites. And a lot of times we like to look at the Israelites and say, well, how foolish they were. They had the temple. Look at all that they had been given with the tabernacle and the Red Sea parting. And yet, days after that, they were murmuring against God. And at another point in time, the ground opens up and swallows some of them. And then immediately they're murmuring against God. Oh, man, I just don't understand how they could do that. Sorry, but when I look at my life and I honestly look at it, there's many examples like that where I murmur against God very quickly after he's done a miracle in my life as well. But Psalm 86, verse 15, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth." One of the most well-known verses in the Bible, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Life, my friend, something that we can't be separated from is the love of God. Nothing can separate us from God's love. I can't separate myself. You can't separate yourself. Satan can't separate us from it. We are secure. We are secured by Christ. We are secured by God the Father. And we are sealed then by the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry, but if Christ is holding me and God is holding me and I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit, I'm not getting out of that. I'm not getting out of that any more than an ant could get out of my hand without me letting it out. And again, it's not a license for us to sin. It's a license for us to serve the God who died for us and who loves us. Friends, I hope that lesson has been an encouragement to you. Again, join me in praying for the Travises this evening as they celebrate the coming of a new daughter into their family and new sibling. Lord, bless them and just keep them, Lord, and we just lift them up. Let's close in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for your love. We thank you for everything that you've done for us, for all that you've provided for us. We just, again, pray for each individual that's listening this evening, that this lesson would be a help to them, would encourage them in their walk with you to draw and rely upon your love. Even when we're not feeling it, even when we just don't know how to go on, Lord, that you would show your love to us and remind us that it's always there. You're always waiting. You're always waiting for us to turn and come back to you. No matter what we've done, we can always turn and come back to you. Lord, I again just lift up the Travis family this evening and pray your blessing upon them. And just help us now as we go our separate ways to remember your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.